الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: الذين يفرحون بما أتوا ويحبون أن يحمدوا بما لم يفعلوا فلا تحسبنهم بمفازة من العذاب. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. First, a few reminders, and reminders are very beneficial for the believers, the Quran Sharif says. One is that it is the day of Jumu'ah, and we should honor the day of Jumu'ah as best as we can. It is the greatest day of the week. And the day, one of the special ibadats of the day of Jumu'ah is salawat, durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should try and read on a daily basis 100 times durood, which is not much, it's very little. If we read sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 100 times, comfortably in 2 minutes we can read it. So it's not much at all. And in Jummah, we should try and increase our durood, our salawat. Another is to read every day the first 10 ayats of Surah Kahf, and at night the last 10 ayats, which is also very little. And on Jummah, try and read the whole surah. And if you can read the whole surah every day, it's also very, very good. And after Jummah, try and read Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi 100 times, inshallah. And this is now the last week of the month of Muharram, and the end of the Ashhur-e-Hurum. The great, great auspicious months are coming to an end now. And only after 5 months will Rajab come again, another one of the sacred months, and all the barakat of these great times. So this 1 week also, as much as we can do stuff, good deeds, let us do. During the month of Muharram, every day's roza, we get the sawab of 30 days roza. So we still got, most probably by next Jumma will be the first of Safar, depending on the sighting of the moon. But let us make hay while the sun is shining. We have got these few days left of this auspicious time. Let us utilize it to the fullest, to our benefit, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. With regard to the efforts of deen, unfortunately, and it is not a subject that is nice to speak about, but it is necessary to speak about, so that the public can be informed, and especially where the ummah and the public gets misguided, it becomes compulsory to speak and enlighten the people of the true state of affairs. So we find that the Jamiatul Ulama of Transvaal was established in 1923. The same time it was in India, Jamiatul Ulama in Hind. And when I went to Fiji Islands, I learned a very important point, and that was that they told us that at that time, the Khilafat-e-Usmani, which unfortunately was crushed by the enemies, they informed all the Muslims of the world, we were looking after your matters, the Muslims' matters, they wanted the Khilafat. But now the Khilafat is going to crumble. It's not going to be there. So you have to look after your own matters. So it looks like all these jamiats were formed at that time with that object, to look after the affairs, the dini affairs of the Muslims. At that time in South Africa, one Maulana Waliullah, Rahmatullah Ali, he started the Jamiatul Ulama in South Africa in 1923. And then at that time the name was Ulama-e-Hind, Ulama-e-Transvaal, Ulama-e-Transvaal. This is more in keeping in line with Urdu grammar, Ulama-e-Transvaal. Afterwards it was changed to Jamiatul Ulama Transvaal. And that was now keeping more in line with English grammar. In English you don't have that which we have in Urdu. And then after Maulana Waliullah, the president, the Amir of the Jamiatul Ulama was Maulana Muhammad Miasfam, Rahmatullah Ali, who was what is known commonly as Miasfam, Fatifal Islamic Institute. And after him, Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Sanjalvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was my Ustad, Mufti Ibrahim Sanjalvi Sahib. And for a long period, he served the Jamiat. And after he passed away, then Maulana Ibrahim Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was the son of Maulana Muhammad Mia Sahib. He became the Amir. And this carried on till about 1991. And then, and that Jamiat was completely different. Their vision, their mission, their work was completely different of what we have now. After 91, then they were forced to leave office. Maulana Ibrahim Mia and them, they were really virtually forced out of office, and then the new Jamiat was formed. So this new Jamiat was, it's not a Jamiat from 1923. That is misleading the public. It is a Jamiat that was formed in 1991, round about there, this Jamiat was formed. And it was formed by pushing out the office bearers of the previous Jamiat, and by force they took office of this Jamiat. And then the president became Maulana Abbas Ali Jinnah. Until today, he is the Amir, the president of the Jamiat. So one thing we have to understand, that they are celebrating the centenary celebration. But that is totally wrong. It is a lie. It is, that was the Jamiat which was completely different, and now Jamiat is completely different. Then the Jamiat's name changed to Jamiatul Ulama Gauteng. And after that, Jamiatul Ulama South Africa. And in there also, there is a lot of controversy. Which will come together with this discussion, that the old Jamiat, the true Jamiat, was stood for Deen. And with the apartheid government, today very few people will know how the apartheid government was, what a strict iron fist they had in controlling the country. And at that time, one of the things was the Group Areas Act. And that is that all the different groups, the whites will stay in a certain area, blacks in a certain area, Indians in a certain area, colors in a certain area. And in that, many masjids were coming into the white areas. And they wanted to demolish all those masjids. And the Jamiatul Ulama, that is, they stood very hard and firm. And they were all, the ulama were not born in South Africa. They were ulama from India. They did not know English language. Just to get along, they know a little bit. But they stood their ground very firm. And they did not allow one masjid to be demolished. I remember personally, Mufti Ibrahim Sanjalvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, when the government which ruled with an iron fist, and they were adamant they were going to demolish the masjid. The last letter he said, we wrote to them, and they got a fatwa from Azhar also, that it's permissible to demolish the masjid. So they stood in a strong position. Maulana wrote a letter that the curses of Allah be upon you if you demolish the masjid. Then they withheld. And an open proof of this is that in Port Elizabeth, there is a masjid where they already built the freeway and the masjid was going to be demolished. But alhamdulillah, with the ulama, and there is where this controversy of the name comes. At that time, the ulama of Transvaal, Natal, and the MJC of Cape, they all stood together under the name of Jamiatul Ulama South Africa to fight the government. That is where the name Jamiatul Ulama South Africa originated. And they stood against the government, and Allah gave so much victory that anyone can go and see it till today. The freeway that is built, the bridge is just half. It stopped there. It was going directly where the masjid is. But they stopped it and they went with the freeway now around the masjid. The masjid is like an island there. An old masjid, but it stood. And this was the efforts of those ulama. So that was the mission of those ulama, the Jamiatul Ulama. And the new Jamiat now, which they also call themselves JUSA, Jamiatul Ulama South Africa. First they were Jamiatul Ulama Gauteng. And then also, if we go and see it logically, the Jamiat represent the Muslims. And in Natal, we have Jamiatul Ulama KZN. The Jamiatul Ulama of Joburg don't have to represent them. They got their own body. The MJC, Muslim Judicial Council of Cape Town, they represent the Muslims of the Cape province. So this ulama don't have to represent them. So how can they take the name? That JUSA was formed to fight the government on one common platform. That's why they all came together. So that was that JUSA. And this JUSA is for various dubious reasons, they've taken on the name JUSA. Otherwise, it does not befit them in any way whatsoever. So anyway, that Jamiat stood firm and did not allow any masjid to be demolished. This Jamiat proudly announces, and it's on their website till today, where they made a public statement and proudly that we closed the masjids 5 days before the government. In the COVID period, when they were not even asked to, there was no reason for them to close the masjids. But they proudly say, we closed the masjid 5 days before the government. So is that serving Islam or is that working against Islam? And then not only that, after at the court case, the people who appealed and applied for the masjids to be opened, they had a very strong case. And this case was, one of the chief arguments was that the government has allowed 7 persons in a taxi to travel with under the COVID regulation. So a taxi is a small space. And for 7 people, so the smallest masjid is much more bigger than the biggest taxi also. So if 7 people can be allowed there, why can't much more people be allowed in the masjid? Or at least a few people to keep namazes going. But when there's very people who say that they represent the Muslims, and they represent Islam, they became the friends of the court to oppose. Then the court said, when you Muslims yourself are saying you want the masjids closed, and you have become friends of the court for this purpose, then the whole thing turned in the opposite way. And they did not allow the permission for the masjids to be opened. So those people who claim they are serving Islam and Muslims, but they were proud they closed the masjid 5 days before. When an application was made for some leeway for the masjids to be open, and it could easily have been won that case, and it should have become a precedent for many other cases also. But just because they became the friends of the court, everything. And after that, when they tried and made a settlement out of court, that at least a few people, masjids remain, some namaz carries on. Which is not the proper thing, but at least namazes carry on. They said that the Secretary General of JUSA said, I won't allow 1 person. And the lawyer of JUSA, he said, on my dead body, I will not allow 1 person also. And then people who are affiliated with the Jamiat, they said that we have made the right decision. And if we have to go back to court, we will go again. And we stand by our decision. Also at that time, they said openly that the masjids are the super spreaders of the virus. And such words that, guys, you have been warned. If you go to the masjid, you're going to die like flies. So don't go to the masjid. For a Muslim to say that, how can we say, and it is totally wrong. Wrong in this sense also, that towards the end of the COVID period, the Professor Muddy of South Africa, he was the advisor of the government on regards to COVID. He himself at the beginning also said that all the protocols, masks, social distancing, etc., helps 95% to stop the spread of the virus or to contract it. But after that, just towards the end, he said 95% protocols did not help at all. There was no benefit in the protocol. And after that, just a few days, World Health Organization made the same statement that all the protocols did not help at all. And the same JUSA had received 12 million rand, which is announced by the foundation for promoting the protocols. And now that it is proven that it was wrong, they themselves are admitting that it was that did not help at all. At least now some retraction should be made if we did not know at that time. So anyway, so that, and then they did go back to court again. When the Muslim personal law marriage bill came about, again they went to court and supported anti-deen and anti-Muslim proposals that were being made about the marriage bill and about the Muslim personal law. So these people to claim الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يُحْمَدُوا and they want to be praised بِمَا لَمْ يَفْعَلُوا which they did not do. The old ulama did all this. They did completely opposite to that and they're taking the praises today that our organization of 100 years have achieved this and have done that, whereas they are completely opposite. Another very important glaring difference between the old Jamiat, the true Jamiat, and what they are now is that in the early 1960s, 62 roundabout there, Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was the rector of Darul Uloom Deoband, visited our country for an extensive period. And in that period, they had made up the syllabus for the primary madaris. At that time, when they went with this primary madaris syllabus to Arab countries, India, Pakistan, those people say, we got big Darul Ulooms, but our madaris, makatib, which are the backbone of the ummah, we have got nothing. You people have advanced so much. That they worked, and they worked very hard to establish the makatib system. And they established it. In that time, we were studying in Mia's farm, and our asatiza should go out regularly in their old age. And they had to put off all their other responsibilities and duties, and they went around the whole province to establish the makatib. And they did a great and fantastic job. And today, this very same, now the Jusa, on one occasion, one person, we are having a discussion, and he was proving that their work is good and they are doing right. When I explained him all this, he understood. And then he said, but what about the good work they are doing? Many people have this. You are taking out the false mistakes, and everyone makes mistakes, but what about the good work? So I asked him, what good work? So he was very surprised that, don't you see the good work of Jusa, of Jamiat now? So I asked him, like what? Tell me. So he said, the makatib, that good work of the makatib. So I told him, the makatib, by and large, the mixing of the males and females, intermingling of the sexes, is a common thing. And this is so dangerous. So what good can come when so much haram is taking place openly? If we don't observe parda, because as ordinary people, it's a guna, it's a very big guna. But when the ulama don't observe, and the ulama don't observe when doing work of deen, while doing the work of deen, we don't observe the laws of Allah, and the Quran Sharif is so emphatic on the maintenance of hijab and parda, so many clear ayat. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu should say, teach your woman Suratul Nur. And in there, all these commands are given so clearly. In the Hadith Sharif, so much stress is laid on hijab and parda. But how it's flouted in the makatib, it's unbelievable. And this is to such an extent that not long ago, perhaps 6 months or so, there were these terrible court cases in the UK where two alims, muftis, and of our village of India they are. One is imprisoned for 15 years and the other for 7 years for molesting young girls. So this mixing of the woman and that, and how many cases come, what affairs then between the people, Shaitan, how he works. It's not just that the apas and the asatiza, the ulama are meeting and that. Many things happen after that. Terrible things happen. So all this, and then all in the name of deen. So this is a complete wrong direction. Besides that, so the and in the makatib, their own syllabus which they had, And when this interfaith thing started coming now, surfacing and becoming a major thing in the world, not only amongst the Muslims, in the world, they added a paragraph to their textbook with the word interfaith, to promote the interfaith. And presently now, they have taken students from the high school students, boys and girls, to the Barelvis Masajid, to the churches, to the right now, this is happened just in this week, and to the Hindu temples, and leading these young persons. And tomorrow, after 10 years, when they will be married and they will have children, what will happen when their mind is so corrupted that they went and big ulama and big people told them, it's all right, we can go to the church also, and we can go to the temple also, and we can go to the Barelvis also, we are all one. What will be the condition of the ummah then? So they, what direction they are going, only Allah Ta'ala knows. And also with regard to the imam of a masjid, he's the imam of the masjid, and he's also a great soccer fan. With the World Cup in 2010, he doesn't make his namaz as the imam in the masjid, he goes and do it at the FNB stadium. And there with all the liquor, the intermingling, the music, the what name it, prostitution, all that in this World Cup, the worst vices are. And there you can make your Jummah and you leave your masjid alone. And when he receives a check from this Motsefe Foundation, the wife of this Motsefe, whose name is Patricia, she's giving them the check and she's got her hand on his arms and his hands on her arms. And this, I'm not saying sucking it out of my finger. When see it on the internet, it's all there for the world to see. And as the leaders of the community, and this we are doing, which direction are we taking the ummah into? So we must be fully aware that where our loyalties must lie, with the haq and with the truth. We cannot at all, Quran and Hadith warns us to even associate with people who are going in this wrong direction. Anything if we associate with them, we are accomplice to the same crimes which they are involved in. Just by agreeing with them, just by being present. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the greatest sahabi, he was invited somewhere, and as he went to the house, he heard some sound which was not right. Like what was common in those days, they should play the duf, the drum. And there's a lot of detail with regard to the masail of it. But it was like music. So he turned, stopped in on his track, and he turned back. So somebody asked him, you were going, you were invited, walima, and now you're not going? He said, I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, man kathara sawada qawmin fa huwa minhum. Whoever increases the numbers of a people, he is part of those people. And the famous incident when Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmood Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, went and visited his Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah in Gangoh. And he went at such a time when the Urus was taking place of Shaykh Abdul Quddusi Rahmatullah Ali Gangohi. Very great buzurg, but the people doing all this bid'at. Urus, etc. there at his qabr. So, Hazrat Mahal Gangohi became reprimanded him. Why did you come at this time? So he said, Hazrat, I'm not going there. I've come to you. He said, same thing. He said, man kathara sawada qawmin fa huwa minhum. All are going to Gangoh. Your niyat is not that 100. It's impossible. You can think of that. But you're just part of those people. And you are walking in the same way. You are part of them. Go back immediately to Deoband. That was not a time when there were bus services also. Walking they should come. And when he went back, so much he listened to his share that people of Gangoh who knew him, great alim, they offered him breakfast, they offered him meal, take a little rest, you walk from Deoband till yes. And now at least, he said, my Shaykh told me to go back. I won't stop for 1 minute also. I have to go back. I'm going back immediately. So to increase the numbers. Further, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, which also is a very important point which we must keep in mind,
He said that من رضي بعمل قومي, whoever is happy with the amal of any people, just to be happy with their amal, كان شريكا فيهم, he is part of those people. Allah reward our muhaddith azim, Hazrat Mufti, Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi in Mirqat. He explains this, that rida, we all know there are many masalas of shariat, that sukut is also rida. So if you go to such a gathering, you just keep quiet, you are also, it's your rida. If a girl is asked, you happy to marry so and so, and she keeps quiet, it's her rida. It says that she is happy with that. It's accepted that it is happy. So if you in such a gathering and you just keeping quiet, you're also part of that gathering. And Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah Ali says that any good that is happening, that has happened, that is going to happen, and you are happy with that, you get the full sawab of that. And any gathering where wrong is taking place, any haram, any wrong, you are far from there. The World Cup took place in Qatar this year, and last year, and or this year, whenever. And where, if you are happy with all that, you are part of that whole World Cup, though you did not go there. So whatever wrong, the clothing of the non-Muslims, if you are happy with that, you're not wearing it. But you're happy with that kind of clothing, you are part of that also. And if you're happy with the clothing of the Muslim people, how Muslim man dress, how Muslim woman dress, the correct dressing, you are happy with that, though perhaps you are not wearing it, but you're happy, you get that sawab also. So it is very important that we know our limits and we understand. And what is the instance in the Quran Sharif of was'alhum anil qaryatil lati kanat hadiratal bahr, that fishing community that was living on the seashore. And their business was with regard to fishing. And how when they broke the laws of Allah Ta'ala, then how Allah Ta'ala punished them, that they became, Allah, those people who stopped them from doing the vice. But they still socialized with them. Eating, drinking, mixing with them. Them also, Allah mixed their hearts and made all of them also swines and monkeys, apes. So it is a very serious thing, and the Quran Sharif is full with the ayat. لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء. لا تتخذوا الذين اتخذوا دينهم لهوا ولعبا. So many ayat, very clear that we must keep our distance. From the highest is kufr. And after that, all sins also. Though a person is not a kafir, but is committing sins, the major sins don't, like it's logical. We won't go and sit with the drug people. We won't go and sit with gamblers. They may be Muslims, many, but they are doing, but we won't go and sit with them. Like that, with all the wrongdoers in deen, which is the most dear, should be the most dearest to us. Today, unfortunately, if somebody swears my father, my mother, or abuses my wife, we take offense immediately. If somebody robbed us of 50 rand, we take offense immediately. But when people are speaking about the deen, we say you must keep quiet. Don't break the peace. You must be at peace with everyone. Keep the harmony, keep the peace. Deen seems that it's got no value in our eyes. Allah Ta'ala has got no value in our eyes. Our family people got value. Our customs got value. Our community got value. But Allah has got no, we break His laws. And the irony is, we say that we observe Allah's laws fully, and we break open Allah's laws flagrantly, openly. We break His laws. Allah make us understand, and it is very important that we have to side with the haq, with the truth. And if not, then it's very, very dangerous for us in dunya also, and in most important, akhirat, in the qabr, what will happen to us. On the day of Qiyamah, what will happen to us? The dunya is not the place of judgment. Judgment is in the akhirat. But these gunas are such that Allah takes people to task in this dunya also. Allah give us proper understanding save us from going over our limits, and save us from all wrong also. And Shariat has put limits in everything. Al-amiruna bil-ma'ruf, wal-nahuna anil-munkar, wal-hafidhuna li-hududillah. Even in commanding the right and stopping the evil, but keep Allah's limits in mind. Don't go over the limits. And don't hate your enemy to such an extent that you don't think what is right and wrong. Shariat has guided us even in our great love for somebody and in our great hatred for somebody and the gunas they committed. Shariat has put regulations on us. May Allah keep us within that and let us not go beyond the limits. May Allah guide us to righteousness.